CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's just after 6 o'clock, CliffCentral.com, and Tuesday morning. We're well into November now, and that means that, so much to do in the next little while, huh? Just before, what's that? Oh, Guy Fawkes, yes, Pumi's favorite day. It's bigger than Halloween to her. We found this out the other day that Pumi's a massive Guy Fawkes fan. All right.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? Exactly. Here we are. Heading in the downhill towards Christmas already. You can feel people are starting to put their foot on the brakes for the year and let go of the accelerator a little bit.
That's because Woolworths hasn't helped us by putting up Christmas decorations in October.
I know. I went into a shop yesterday to go and buy some groceries and things. It's just Christmas everywhere already.
I went to a mall for dinner last night, and so we were leaving at around like 10:30, and there were this like small army that walked in, and I'm talking like big bulky men with massive.
You must have been excited.
Bulky men.
Well,
finish that sentence with massive.
Excuse me now. You know, sometimes I try not to be a stereotype, and you guys
I know, obviously. No. Yeah, carry on.
You live there.
Do you know what? I was going to complete that sentence and go with big tools. But yes, they did have massive tools, and they had like big ladders and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was a small army putting up Christmas decorations. It was intense. All of these people and all of these places are now like going Christmas crazy. And we're what? 5 days into November. Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yeah.
We're all building up to this one day, folks.
Yeah. It's
not the one day.
It's just the one day.
It's our whole season.
It's not one day.
Listen, season. I got to say, though, that the thing that bothers me about all of this is that suddenly, you know, everybody, we feel this compulsion to spend, but we really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah, especially when Jan comes knocking.
I know. It's very scary. And you look at your bank statements and everything else, and you're like, yeah.
It's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. It's not a good idea, right? But I don't want to spoil everybody's day because, I mean, that's not what we're here to think about. And as much as we try to get people to be professional about their finances, we're part of the problem, I suppose, in some way, because we're just the same. I can't help it. I want to buy people presents at Christmas. And the one thing I'm not doing this December is doing any holidays. I mean, I've done enough traveling this year anyway, so I felt very spoiled. But I don't feel the need to have to go to where everybody else is going in December.
So you're going to be in Joburg?
I think so.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's kind
inland.
Of...
inland.
I'm very much content with the idea of just hanging around.
Hmm.
Taking it easy, maybe having a few people over every couple of days, maybe going to see friends, maybe spending time with family, but nothing that costs accommodation and car hire and all that crap.
Mm. Do you never get taken by the December spirit?
No, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Then it's all fun and games now. Then your friends are like, hey, don't you feel like a weekend away? And you go, yes.
You wake up and you're 5 o'clock.
I don't think I'm going to go for it this year. Hey, I've got to play you something so funny. Can I play you something quickly?
Yeah.
This is, I meant to play this last week already, but Elson sent this to me from the Jimmy Kimmel Show, where he talks about the differences between Obama and Trump. And
I saw this.
Hilarious. All right, just listen to
this. By the way, when Obama went on TV to announce that they'd killed bin Laden, he spoke for 9.5 minutes. Trump yesterday did 48 minutes on this. And for further comparison, we thought it might be fun to match up Trump's speech about al-Baghdadi with Obama's about bin Laden, and we were right, it was.
The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden.
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
The United States launched a targeted operation against that compound.
They did a lot of shooting, and they did a lot of blasting, even not going through the front door. You know, you think you go through the door. If you're a normal person, you say, knock, knock, may I come in?
After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
He died like a dog.
But his death does not mark the end of our effort.
A beautiful dog.
A beautiful dog.
We give thanks for the men who carried out this operation.
And I don't get any credit for this, but that's okay. I never do. But here we are.
May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
And I'm writing a book. I think I wrote 12 books. All did very well.
I miss Mom Goldberg.
Did he come away?
Isn't that hilarious?
Here we are.
That is so
funny.
He
died like a beautiful dog.
No, there was two separate clips. He was talking about the dog that did the work.
Uh-huh.
But you see, this is the point also. They want to make it, like, it's easy to make Trump sound stupid because he walked straight into it. But it's hilarious. So someone else who's in the news, I don't know if you saw this, but she was on one of the late night shows the other night. Sinead O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen her?
Hey.
She's
I haven't. How's she looking?
Sweet Lord
days?
Jesus. She looks like she's been attacked by crows. I mean, this used to be one of the prettiest. Age takes its toll on all of us. People probably say this about me.
But life.
No, look, she's.
Life is what. Don't you ever see those old people?
She walked the dirt road.
Look like they have everyone's troubles on their shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, even in the bright sun shining, they just look cold and crouched.
Well, look, she's. She looks like an old crone, and I think it's partly this, she converted to Islam, and she's got this uniform on, like a red hijab and everything. So yes. She looks like, you know, one of those, like from the Greek tragedies, an old crone you expect with a stick and everything. But she can still sing. So
she's
let's,
about the same age, isn't she?
Yeah, she's, well...
Of a crone.
I don't know, she's probably in her 50s, maybe 60s.
Her new name now is Shuhada... Sadakat. Shuhada Sadakat.
You would have thought that she'd looked at how badly it went for Yusuf Islam, who used to be known as Cat Stevens, and maybe she would have changed her mind, but I don't know. She's converted, and look, she had a really tough life in between, as she claims so. She says she, you know, had huge amounts of mental illness and depression and all kinds of things. And remember, she had that big fight that was all over the news when she had it with the Pope. Basically, she turned her back on Catholicism in the most... She was like angry as hell. So she was looking for something, and she found solace in the arms of a new religion. Mm-hmm. And here she is, but she can still sing. All right, listen to this.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days.
Should be thanking Prince for this song.
Since you took your love away. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. And I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant. But nothing, I said nothing can take away these blues, because nothing compares.
Still got the voice, man.
Nothing compares to you.
So yeah, I'm glad that one of our listeners actually tipped me off for that, Eddie, who said you've got to see Sinead O'Connor doing Nothing Compares to You. Of course, the song was written by Prince, and she performed it very famously in the 1980s. It became her biggest hit, and you know what? She still has the voice.
What a talent.
Yeah, she's definitely a supreme talent, and it's good to see her back on the scene, because for a while I thought we'd lost her to depression and misery and like being a recluse and everything else.
Yeah, and look, we like a good comeback story.
Yeah.
So I hope
the
fact that she's doing interviews means she has something in the works, or she's coming up.
Maybe.
Look, it's not the easiest thing, but I'm like, she should tag onto some new Disney movie, sing the soundtrack, sing the theme tune, and we'll like it.
Eddie adds that he thinks her voice is actually much better now. She's been through a lot. I look up to Sinead because she's so weird. I'm a massive fan. I cry every time I hear that song.
Ooh. She's so weird. He looks up to her because she's weird.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, people.
We look up to Adele for heartbreak, Sinead for weirdness.
Well, I look up to Adele for eating. She's my eating teacher, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what that means.
She's my eating teacher.
Inspiration.
Before I met Adele, I was unable to eat the volumes of food I now eat.
You truly haven't seen her these days.
No, she's looking much. Listen, she's looking. It used to be a fun joke.
Listen, yeah, heartbreak will do that to you.
Yeah, what make you lose weight?
Yeah.
Yes. With the divorce and everything.
It'll make you know.
I hope she's.
It's a thing, hey. It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
I gotta tell you a very funny story. We were just talking about December and how. You do or don't have plans. Mm-hmm. Well, Elon Musk says you should not do vacations. He says vacations will kill you.
Kill you?
Hold up.
Let's just remember this is the guy who sold his first company, Zip2, to Compaq for $300 million. Then went off to start X.com, which eventually became PayPal. In 2002, eBay bought that from him for $1.5 billion. Then he founded SpaceX, which is worth $33 billion now. And in 2003, he founded Tesla, which has a current market cap of about $57 billion. So the guy's, he's done okay, all right? He says...
He can go on holiday whenever he wants.
He says, don't go on holiday. Vacations will kill you. You know, he's well known for having slept on the Tesla factory floor in an effort to catch up production on the Model 3 cars.
So...
And he says, I don't have time to go home and shower. He says, I don't believe people should be experiencing hardship while the CEO is off on vacation. He says, in addition to working all the time, he's had terrible luck when it has come to vacations. So listen to this. In 2015, he said he'd only taken off twice in more than a decade, and both times he hated it. Here's an exact quote. He said, in the last 12 years, I only tried to take a week off twice. The first time, the Orbital Sciences rocket exploded and Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic rocket exploded in the same week. The second time I took a week off, my rocket exploded, he said. The lesson here is don't take a week off. Even before that, when Musk tried to take his first adult vacation, his honeymoon with his then first wife, Justine, in September 2000, he got bad professional news. At the time, he was CEO of X.com. And he was basically ousted with a letter of no confidence from the company's board while he was on holiday. So he's got a block in his head about a vacation.
The megalomania, though.
It's
when
bad,
I
right?
go on holiday, rockets explode. Wow.
Well, he says he also planned a 2-week trip to Brazil and South Africa a long time ago. And when in South Africa, he contracted the most severe form of malaria. After two hospitals misdiagnosed him, he came very close to dying. And he says, that's my lesson for taking a vacation. It will kill you.
I think he means Brazil, not South Africa.
No, he got malaria here.
Really?
No. Yeah. And he's from here, for God's sake. He was born here. Anyway, I thought that was really funny because we all think that, you know, all we need is a good vacation and we'll come back fresh.
Can we take it as him just
yeah,
being
that's just Elon.
Tongue-in-cheek? And
sure.
No, thanks. I'm still going to hand over my leave forms to HR. I have things to do this December, okay?
Who is
HR?
Who's HR here?
Who's HR
Pinky?
Here?
Hey, Papa, I'm just going to hand in my form on a desk somewhere.
I suppose I have to as well. Is it Pinky?
I think so.
Pinky, yeah.
I think so.
We don't know. We don't actually know.
Give it to Greg.
No.
Yes, sir. I'm in charge of
Greg will figure it out.
Give it to Greg.
Apparently, Vicky Momberg is on the run.
I was going to bring it up
running
during the news.
What?
I wanted to bring it up yesterday, and we didn't have time.
We're busy.
And so I was just...
She's been on the run. She was supposed to hand herself in, right?
Uh-huh.
To start her sentence. She is...
Fuck it.
Gone.
And this is back in August. She was meant to hand herself over in August.
Remind everybody, Vicky Momberg is that horrible woman who attacked the cop and verbally abused him and racially abused him and was using the most hideous language you could possibly imagine. She was the kind of person who all of us immediately assumed we would never, ever want to be in even in the surrounds of. And then she was found guilty by the Human Rights Commission or Equality Court.
Mm.
And she was told that she's going to jail.
And then she tried to appeal it.
So didn't they put her away immediately? Because I remember her in leg
irons.
She was
appealing it, and therefore she was out on bail, pending the outcome of the appeal. She lost the appeal, and so she had to hand herself in.
Where could she be, though?
They were at her parents' house
and everything. She gave two addresses.
So, guys, if anybody knows...
You see Vicky Momberg.
Beyond the lookout.
Hear her.
To be honest with you, I've got to look up what she looks like again. I've forgotten. Vicky.
Oh, let's find her.
Okay, can I just take the piss out of her
gremlin?
Just see what she looks like. I really have forgotten. Oi.
For someone...
I think I saw this woman at the shops yesterday.
Vicky girl, if you're listening, firstly, you probably don't want to hear from a brown-skinned person like me. But let me give you some advice. People will not think that you would hide in a township. Go there.
Can you imagine if she hides in a township?
Vicky girl, I know Sis Dolores in Midolens. She'll give you a straight back. Get a tan.
Yeah, you'll fit in. Get a tan, baby. Get in there.
Or go to Eldo's where you'll assimilate.
I mean, wouldn't it be the funniest thing? If nature played this trick on her and the only people who would take her in were like the people in the rural Eastern Cape, from everyone else, off the main roads.
Yes.
And she was living for 5 years in a hut. And she learnt Xhosa, and she learnt how to make umqombo tea, and she spoke to no whites. Imagine if that's her comeuppance.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I would laugh. I mean, in some ways,
that is the last place people would expect to find her.
So funny.
But of course, social media just took the story and ran with it. Just South Africa. Pauline tweeted, "The SAPS must invade Orania. That's the only place Vicky Momberg would run to." Someone else says, "Vicky Momberg is in Australia." Someone else said, "Vicky Momberg will be found at DA's nearest offices. Thank you." And then someone else says, "It's almost lunchtime. Keep your eyes open at every Tash's in Joburg. Vicky Momberg will eventually pop up."
Tash's? I don't know if she could afford Tash's. She's lost the bail money, right? No.
Yeah.
She looks hard done by these days.
So what happens in this kind of situation?
Well, the cops have to try and find her.
They must hunt her down.
Yeah,
sure.
And they're going to have to look around, and if they can find her, then they put her in jail.
Mm. And I don't suspect we have a lot of cases like this.
Yeah,
this is just high profile.
And by the way, she now has an aggravation of sentence as well, so they'll probably sentence her for longer because she absconded. You can't just disappear when it's your time to go to jail. But you're right. I wonder how many other cases there are of people who just disappear. I'd be very interested to know.
When do you become a fugitive?
Well, the minute you don't show up.
Yeah.
So like her.
Yeah.
Right now.
She's a fugitive now.
It's not just a term for the movies. when you don't show up, you are running from the law.
It's finished.
Do you really think she's out of the country? I don't think
she's not
she could be in Australia or something. Who knows?
She's not out of
the
country.
It's very difficult to escape the country if you're on a list. Mm. I mean, look, who knows?
She would have had to get an illegal visa.
You could bribe someone, maybe. Who knows?
And how
she'd have to bribe someone at the Australian embassy, too, to get the visa.
How do you justify something like this as well? There's no way that she can be found again and say, "Oh, sorry, guys, I wasn't paying attention to my calendar."
I've thought about this before in terms of if I were in big trouble and I had to just gap it. Have you ever thought about it? Like if you had to cut and run. No, I always think about these things.
Like, where are you going to go?
I think of zombie apocalypses. I do.
Yeah?
You need to have a substantial amount of money, which I don't think she had.
Uh-huh.
Because let's say you cross the border. A lot of people would probably, because our borders are so porous, you know, you could be in the back of a 4x4 and you could get across the border.
Mm.
She could be in Tanzania by now if she wanted to leave the country. But then what? Because you can't.
Well,
you don't need a lot of money.
I think what I have thought about is I've thought about how much money do you need? Would I need?
Yeah.
To just get off the wheel, right?
Right.
Off the rat wheel.
Okay.
And I kind of figured that with 200,000 rand,
oh, you've really Katwe, thought about this. Mm.
In Katwe, mm-hmm. right? You could get like a beach bungalow.
Yeah.
You could
farm your food.
You could live quite comfortably for the rest of your life.
How would you get there, though? So you've done something in South Africa. How do you get to Uganda?
No, well, I wasn't thinking about running away.
Oh, okay.
I was just thinking about if you get off the rat wheel, yeah. what does it look like? What would it cost? Like, don't y'all think about that? Like, I don't think about running away like that. But I'm kind of going, if I were to actually just go, yeah, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough of, like, Joburg's. I think kind of like rural Eastern Cape or KZN, you don't need that much money to kind of
see. I would run off to the Eastern Cape, shave my head, have a
Speak why closer. Would you shave your head?
No, I just feel like I'll blend in, walk with a bit of a swagger to me now, deepen my voice a bit. Hmm. Yeah, then I'll be fine. I'll herd some cows and call it a day.
It's
I wouldn't go like too remote.
It's kind of like if you're thinking about how much money would you have to win in the lotto in order to just...
How much money is ever enough?
Oh, wow. You know, see, this is a question that comes up often, and it's good to play this fantasy game with yourself because people always think, well, if I had a million rand or if I had a billion rand or, you know, the number just gets extravagant. But I think anything north of 10 million, you really it just becomes a numbers game.
What do you mean?
Like 10 million. If you have 10 million, well, let's say $1 million, all right? Let's say $1 million.
Yeah.
You really don't, nobody on earth needs more than that. You can do pretty damn well on 10, well, let's say $1 million, which is what, 16 million rand.
Mm.
I reckon that you could live very comfortably. You'd still have to work, but then that's the point, right? You don't. What are you going to do? Everybody has this fantasy of like, if I just had enough money, I'd retire and travel the world. And that would last for like a month or two, and then you'd be bored. You have to have purpose. People who are miserable in their lives are usually miserable because they don't have purpose. It's not about, you know, privation or not being able to buy this thing or that thing. When you're in those kinds of million-dollar leagues, really, you can buy anything you want, but it's about doing things that matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, at $1 million, you don't really even need to work. Because if you invest it carefully and you've paid off whatever, so you pay your house, you pay your car, whatever, you know, just a standard, I don't know, what do people like? A BMW 3 Series.
Yeah, well, let's just say you've got a pretty good upper middle class life from there on in.
You really do. You're not competing because it will give you the interest alone.
Yeah, you're not trying to compete with Elon Musk. You're not trying to be on the Forbes list. You just want to have a good life for yourself. Then you sort it. Financially, I don't think you need more than a million. Beyond that, it all just becomes about competition and who's the best and who's the richest. And really, those guys are playing in a league that the rest of us never need to join. You don't think it's enough,
huh?
No, at my core...
What do you want?
At my core, I know I wouldn't be that rational. If you were to hand me...
It would be difficult to be rational.
No, I really wouldn't.
In that situation.
What do you mean?
If you dumped a million rand...
No, $1 million.
That's 16 million.
Worse. $1 million? I would be one of those cases. I kid you not. In 2 years, I've spent it all. Yes. I remember watching, and I'll see if I can find this clip. It was Shaquille O'Neal doing an interview, and he spoke about how he spent $1 million in a day. And that's my guy. I'd be one of those reckless spenders. Because you think about when you naturally reckless, but you're
absolutely not. Like you're actually really careful.
I'm not a lost cause.
No, you are very...
But with 16 million, I'd go... Of course I do need to buy Princess Diana's jewels that she wore once in Italy.
What do you do with them?
Gareth,
stick them in
a
safe. A
couple of months ago, I was contemplating bidding for a seat that was in Oprah's studio. This is me on my 1,000-day status. Now make me a multimillionaire.
You'd waste it all.
But I wouldn't justify it as a waste. I'd be like, Yeah, I want to be at a dinner party and say, remember Bubbles the monkey? Michael Jackson's monkey? Well, I bought all of his offspring. For no reason. Stupid. But you know what? I'm able to say that. I'm able to do that. I know I'd be stupid with it. If I were to be helped, yeah.
Have you seen that show? There's that reality TV show on one of the DSTV channels. I blew it.
Yeah.
It's actually sad, hey?
So I haven't seen an entire episode of it. I've only seen what people post on social media, right? But I'm always astounded at the guy that blew like 50,000 rand. Well, and in his mind, that's like, now the 50,000 rand is gone. He's sitting there, uswabile.
But in this case, in South African contexts, the show had a lot of cases of people who were in car accidents, so they got money from the RAF, or like a family member died, and they were hitting up the household. Yeah. And these are situations where people and their family members actually need the money.
Yeah, but you can't sit and do nothing. Like, the point is, if you get a big payout for something, doesn't mean you just sit around and use it up every day. Like, this is 1900s thinking. This is unbelievable. Like, what are you going to be doing all day?
Just, no purpose. Just,
yeah, what's your
graze on
reason
money
to wake up? I'm going to spend.
Living
tell you
the
what,
Downton Abbey life.
You got to do
ringing
something.
For the servants.
Like, for example, I mean, I don't understand this either, but here's Marcus who says, at the age of 30, there's no way in hell I could retire with only 15 million rand. It would last 20 years at a stretch. Yeah, but that's if you're sitting on your backside not doing anything. What are you going to do all day?
What are you going to do all day?
So if you're 30 and you get 15 million rand and you just do nothing for another 20 years, now you get to 50, now what? Really? You're going to tell me you've spent those 20 years, what, just wandering around the earth? Like Abraham in the Old Testament? It's just unreal.
Like Abraham.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. Yeah.
Sitting around doing nothing.
Huh? Just wandering around the earth.
No, but really.
Grazing on money.
It's kind of, you do have to do something.
You do.
But you don't need, but what you don't need is you don't need some kind of high-powered executive role that gives you, I don't know what they
no,
do.
No,
just something.
Because then you're comfortable enough.
You don't need it.
Like, you know that you've got some money in the background.
Do what you love, right?
Exactly. And what you'll probably end up doing is you'll start some organization that, you know, maybe it does good, or maybe it's a passion project of yours, and it'll make enough to just break even, and then you're fine.
But also, when it's about, so think about your expenses, right? The things that are your biggest expenses. If you pay off the big expenses, then suddenly your need for
a
large income diminishes. Because you're like,
once you
know, you
paid a bond and
you've paid
the car,
you've paid the house.
What else do you need?
Right.
You need groceries, you know? You need groceries and rates and taxes and electricity and all of that stuff doesn't amount to 70,000 rand a month.
No.
Or shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
Even if you eat like Adele.
Yeah, when you have, you know, caviar to make and call. And
this is a good point. This is from A.S., she says, my husband says we must stay middle class forever because he is certain to become an absolute asshole if we get rich. See, that's a good point, too. Like, would you be a nice rich person or would you be a terrible rich person? And everybody thinks, oh, I'd be great and I'd be so generous. But there's some people who we just know, like Sia. I know for a fact Sia would be a horrible rich person.
You probably wouldn't get him on the phone afterwards.
Phone.
Even you.
Phone.
I always say, guys, delete my number.
Yeah.
Sia would never, ever talk to any of us again.
Yeah.
He would live a life... Like, here I'm imagining him as a kept person, right? Where he finds some...
With the gown
very,
that
very,
trails on the floor.
Exactly.
With feathers.
Really, I could see you just disappearing from... We would never hear from you again. You would not even, you would probably wouldn't even talk to your family.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah.
live this insane life. You'd be jetting around the world. Mm. You'd be buying things at fancy shops in Paris. You'd be going to concerts and sitting.
I've even had to sit up straight. My posture will change.
You'd be sitting on the stage watching Beyonce perform, and you'd be having a little fold up to you on the stage. He'd just be, he'd be impossible, and he would be rude to everyone because he's already got a superiority complex.
Do you know when we'd hear from him, Gareth? When he's poor and it's all finished.
But before that, my general attire will just be crisp white shirts and just these satin or silk scarves around my neck for no reason. And then on occasion, I just dress up in a very...
A cravat. You would be wearing a cravat.
That's the one. And then you see, I'll know words like cravat. Cravats and croutons. That's the title of my memoir.
I wouldn't have pegged you for the crisp white shirt. I would have pegged you more for like a silk gown.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That's when I'm at the house.
But Pumi, do you know what I mean? He'd be a shit if
he
was rich.
Yeah, he'd be a shit human.
He would.
You guys don't think money would change you?
Not in a bad way.
No, I don't think so. No, I think it'd be the same.
That's more power to you guys.
What's the practical way of making your million stretch if I'm going to retire after winning? Well, you see, this is another thing.
Invest it.
This is Inati. So there isn't, there's a certain amount of really smart thinking to investing, but it means also that you don't stop earning. Like, you still have to cover your overheads. Then that capital that you've got can grow because you're not taking away from it the whole time. It's like a... People always see the cake as only being so big, right? And that's the problem with economics, is there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who believe there's only this much cake and we've got to cut it up so that everybody gets this tiny, tiny piece which isn't going to satisfy their hunger.
It's or actually not cake at all. It's like a domboluto.
There we go.
Oh.
But then there are people who see that it can grow and grow.
It's like got yeast and it's just growing.
It can keep growing.
The longer you leave
it
in the sun, it just keeps growing.
It can keep growing. And especially when everybody's being productive and we've got an economy that's growing, and then those things happen and everybody gets richer. Everyone. The poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. Everyone gets richer. They don't all get equally rich. So forget about that idea because that's never going to happen. Look up something called the Pareto Principle, P-A-R-E-T-O. That'll give you an idea of how things are distributed in the universe, naturally, not got anything to do with human behavior. And you'll see that there are unequal distributions in everything,
of everything
that ever existed. And that those unequal distributions tend to gather in larger numbers among smaller groups.
80-20, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
So over here?
So, you know, this is an interesting thing to know. But who cares if the billionaire has made another billion if all of us have made 1,000 extra and we weren't 1,000 richer last month? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Why are we worried? This is a thing that someone did. They've just recently compiled, I think it's 7 or 8 different surveys on people's attitudes to money. And this is all in America, obviously. So I'll try and find. I mentioned this the other day, and I still haven't done the homework and actually got you the footnotes so that you can go and check it out yourself. But they've done a whole lot of research. What they've discovered is that actually most of the people who are obsessed with equality are not so interested in the welfare of the poor.
No.
But it has to do with resentment of the rich.
Sure.
And this is something people don't like to admit, because when we hear, especially politicians, going, the poorest of the poorest of the poor. And we hear them talking about, you know, because they've nominated themselves to be spokespeople for the poor, without the poor ever having said, yes, you're our spokesperson. It's usually these people who are doing okay. Like, I'm going to speak on behalf of the poor. Oh, really? Who gave you that mandate? No, I just gave it to myself. But the reality is, the reason that they talk about that stuff is more because Elizabeth Warren in America just this week has revealed her Medicare for All plan. It's going to cost $50 trillion.
Ooh.
$50 trillion. So when she's asked by a reporter, how do you expect to pay for this? She goes, oh, we're just going to tax the 600 billionaires into complete, you know, poverty. But basically just take all the money from those billionaires. You think the billionaires are just going to sit there and let you take the money?
There you go.
You think they're not going to take every cent they've got and move it into some horrible third world country where they have flexible tax rates? And they'll just, you know what they'll do? They'll jet into the United States as a tourist once a year, and that's all you'll get out of them, Elizabeth Warren, is their tourist money. It's just unbelievable how politicians think this way. Anyway, the fact is, people like Elizabeth Warren, who talk about taxing the billionaires, what they're doing is they're appealing to all of us, because there are more of us who are not billionaires,
mm-hmm.
and they're making us feel like they're, you know, getting some justice finally in this world, and that they're going to get those billionaires and they're going to get their money and they're going to give it to us. It doesn't work that way.
And the messaging does work to a certain extent.
Oh, people That's love it. The Look, people thing. Respond to it. Yeah. And this is what the research has shown, is that people respond to it because they resent the rich more than they care about the poor. But let's not pretend that that's because you're a good person.
So I think the thing about it, too, is if you're going to stretch those millions, is understanding where you are pegged in life, right? So it's not going to be about, like, Sia, silk gowns and like private jets. you have to understand where you're pegged in life. I mean, I tell you guys about my grandmother and how old she is all the time, but mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by the fact that my entire life, my grandmother has been retired.
Sure.
But my grandmother's life has not changed. So she hasn't been working, earning extra, right? But she has a good life. She has the good life that she's always had. She had when she was working. She still has that life now. And it has been my entire life.
That's amazing. How old is she now?
95.
Sure. Listen, we get back to your grandmother in a second. We're so late for the five things you need to know. Let's just quickly hop into the headlines. 11 of the skeletal remains housed at the University of Cape Town don't belong there because they were unethically obtained. They had been serving budding medical students and scientists at UCT for decades. The university has revealed the findings of the most comprehensive restitution project ever undertaken in the world. The near 100-year-old remains will receive a final resting place. Through DNA analysis, archaeological research, and face mapping technology, it was discovered where 9 of the 11 came from. They are of Klaas Stuurman, two individuals known only as Janneke and Saarke, as well as 6 other Khoi and San individuals who were dug up in Sutherland by a UCT medical student in the 1920s. You see, how come it's okay for an archaeologist to dig up Homo Naledi over here, but it isn't okay for them to dig up something 100 years old in the Cape? And by the way, remember, in all of this, most graves only get visited 1.5 generations after that person's death. Maximum. Most graves.
Four 1.5 generations.
Yeah, correct. 4 1.5 generations. Okay. So maybe your children will visit your grave, and perhaps half of your grandchildren will visit your grave. That's
then
it.
That's it.
After that, nobody cares about your grave. So then you might as well be on display at UCT as well. How do we feel about this?
Donate your body to science.
I'm too exhausted from this one life. I don't even want to be on display.
Have you seen Body Worlds?
It's amazing.
What is that?
That Damien Hirst exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
It's
not Damien Hirst. SCR recoils. But it's well-preserved human bodies in varying degrees of dissection.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Where is it?
It actually tours the world.
I don't even want to Google this.
We had it here in South Africa.
It's not. I'm confusing that with Damien Hirst's actual. He did a similar kind of exhibition a while ago. But this Body Worlds, I remember it, and I didn't go and see it, and I'm pissed
you
off.
You did not.
You no, pissed off. You didn't see dead bodies,
dude. It's not dead bodies. It's about this is anatomy. This is anatomy. Are you not curious about what the nervous system of a human being looks like in actual 3D?
It is the most amazing exhibition
you
will ever be exposed to. It's varying amazing. Degrees of dissection of actual human bodies that have been... So obviously,
but it's people who've donated their bodies to science. Uh-uh. This is what Pumi's saying. We should all do that.
Donate your body to science. Help the future generations.
All right. Well, yet another report from Busisiwe Mkhwebane's office space is being scrapped by the courts. civil society organization Unite Behind announced on Monday that it had submitted a review application to the North Gauteng High Court after Mkhwebane's whitewash April report into corruption and maladministration at PRASA, the organization's requesting the report be set aside. This Busisiwe Mkhwebane cannot get anything right at the moment. And they say lower data prices are coming. You want to celebrate now or do you want to celebrate later? Let me tell you.
I will leave it when I see it.
The ICASA people have released guidelines for the licensing of spectrum. That is set to increase competition between the major network providers and lower the cost of data for consumers. The release of spectrum has been marred by delays and court battles between ICASA and the Communication Ministry. Spectrum has been limited in South Africa because digital migration has been delayed for years. Do you remember when the Minister of Communications was Faith Mutambi? And even before
even before that,
Ivy Matsepe Kasabur.
The whole digital zonga.
So
that's what they called it. That was the original digital zonga.
Data prices could fall by as much as 25%.
It's about that time.
In the next 3 years and contribute almost 0.6% to economic growth if spectrum is released, according to Treasury. So that's an urgent priority, but let's not hold our breaths, as Pumi says.
I'll believe it when I see it on my bank account.
Apparently selling cannabis on social media is illegal, according to the South African police.
I love that they have to warn us now because we South Africans take things and we run.
I think if you're going to sell something, what's the biggest marketplace available? Social media.
And it's also difficult to police.
Right. So the police have warned the distribution and selling of cannabis and related products through social media platforms and unlicensed dispensaries is illegal. In 2018, the Constitutional Court ruled that the private use of cannabis is permitted. However, Vishnu Naidu of the police on Monday said dealing is still remaining a serious criminal offence on the books. Naidu said some members of the public have taken advantage of the ruling by establishing and marketing businesses that sell cannabis illegally.
Mm. Yeah, but where do I get the cannabis if no one's going to deal it?
Exactly.
You grow it in your garden.
That was always one of the points that was raised about the legislation. Just that one particular part of the legislation is not enough because there are so many knock-on effects of it, right? So, number one, because it's only for personal use.
Yeah.
It's actually only legal for personal use within your private space. So, if you had a bar,
I still get nervous smoking a joint in public, actually.
As well, you should. You should be smoking it in a private space. It's not legal to smoke it in public.
At home, still. Like, I got to step outside, but I still get, nervous, you know?
Well, I don't know how you're going to get it, but don't smoke it, because I can tell you, when we had those edibles last year, sweet Lord Jesus, that ruined me. Never do that again. I will never, ever do that again. President Donald Trump would face competitive general election races against each of his top three potential Democratic challengers in 7 battleground states he won in 2016. There's something interesting going on here. So the Democrats who are going to do well in the primaries are not the Democrats who will do well against Trump, because the Democratic base is moving far more left. So they like candidates like, for example, Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris. But the reality is the only guy who really can beat Trump at this point is Biden, because he's much more centrist. So somehow they have to be able to get Biden to be the candidate, even though the Democratic base is looking for someone a little bit more left, who of course would lose against Trump. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place at the moment, and who knows what could happen here. But Beto O'Rourke dropped out, if anyone cares.
Yes. I saw his...
I'm trying
to paraphrase his tweet now, but he says, continuing on in service will not be as a president. I'm like, just shut up, you're done.
You're out. Yeah, you're finished,
so, dude. You know...
I think he lost me. He lost me from the very first couple of appearances he made after announcing his run for president, when he would step up, and I think he was trying to evoke these family values, I'm just like you thing. But he kept on emphasizing, I'm already missing my wife and the kids back home. But to me, it sounds like, okay, well,
you don't want to work, do you?
Yeah. and you can't That's stomach it. This.
It's not going to work.
Then, okay, then go back. This is already too hard for you. Then go back.
I will give you this in perspective. Exactly 11 years ago yesterday.
I know what you're
exactly
going to say.
11 years ago yesterday, Obama was elected.
Mm-hmm. Wow. 11 years. Sure. Doesn't feel like it, huh?
I went back and I was watching those videos. Just watched some clips from his inauguration as well. Oh, man.
All right. A couple of messages we got to get to.
Looking at that Sasha and Malia. Mm. Just babies, man.
The body exhibition was at Cape Town Waterfront 5 years ago. It's amazing. Mm. If you went in a smoker, you pretty much gave up when you left because they had a couple in full coitus, among other things, sliced in half. Amazing. But they showed you the lungs
of
a smoker.
They showed you the lungs of a smoker versus a non-smoker. They showed you the heart. It's amazing, that thing. They've been, so it's a traveling exhibition since 1995. It's been traveling the world. Been to 140 countries.
We need to take Leanne there sometime.
Yeah, to get her off the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big, I'm not an evangelist for stopping other people from smoking. You do what you want.
Yeah, if she likes it, she likes it. Leave her alone.
So, but I've tried. Gugu, I know your intentions are good. I've tried with my parents. It just doesn't work. Gavin says, I agree with Pumi. Donate your body to science. For some, it's the only way to get into university.
Wow.
The shade.
Wow.
Someone says they found
Vicky.
They found Vicky and she's wearing an EFF shirt.
I will not put that past her. For a great plan.
Oh, shame, man. Look at how she's pursing like those lips.
That's Robert. He says they found her. Okay, so coming up in a little while, we've got Emmanuel Castus is going to join us. And he's got some very interesting stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about the new Dion Meyer book, which has been turned into a South African production. And a lot of people are very excited about this. I haven't seen it yet, but we are getting Dion Meyer in here at some point.
Yeah, on the 15th. I think that's next Friday.
That's
yes.
It. And Emmanuel Castus will be popping in as well. Hey, I see that Bitcoin is at $9,399. Still under the 10, huh? Isn't it irritating? Ethereum at $186, just in case, because we haven't given an update in such a long time. And I thought since we started Luno and Decrypto Season 2, it was probably a good idea for us to start talking about the price of Bitcoin and Ethereum again.
So, Gareth, I just want to call your attention to the fact that have you seen how yesterday and today, none of us are interested in the bad news, like the afterglow of Saturday?
Yeah.
Like, we're just... Yeah, it just miss us with that nonsense.
Speaking of Saturday, what happened to you on Saturday? I saw you. I think it was in Malibongwe, and there were cops there. And
you saw me and you drove by.
I was on the other side, dude.
What happened?
I'm driving.
You saw Pumi?
Yeah, but I'm on the
in traffic,
surrounded by cops.
And no, it's not surrounded.
And he drove by.
Let's just remember, if we're ever in big trouble, don't expect Gugu to help you. What happened, Pumi?
What happened?
You should not have mentioned that.
So I look. Hold on.
Yeah,
I look for
more.
Your number. You sent it to me, Sia, and I realized shit. It's on the other phone because I got a new phone now, and I'm like, oh well.
You're like, oh well, let's leave her.
Leave her surrounded with the cops, surrounded on Malibongwe, whatever madness is happening.
So what went down?
Dude, I got hit by a drunk driver.
Over there?
Oh, no.
On that intersection?
Not at that intersection. So at Northumberland in Malibongwe, if you see where we were at Belize.
Yeah.
This guy swerved into my lane, hit me, and completely, like, my car kind of swerved off onto the curb or whatever.
Jesus.
And then he did not stop.
Wow.
So it's like a hit and run.
So it was a hit and run. And then I just, for whatever reason, right, decided, fuck him, I'm going to chase him down.
Of course.
Oh, good.
Because there's a traffic light just past that. You know? So there's a traffic light and then there's another traffic light. So I chased him down. Obviously, there's cars and whatever. And I could, all I wanted to do actually was take a picture of his number plate so that I can report it and report him. Because with his number plate, you can track him down, right?
Yeah.
As I was there, he didn't stop at the next light either.
So you had to stop?
No, I didn't stop. What the fuck?
Wow, okay.
But because I was chasing him down, there was a taxi that saw the incident driving behind me, and that guy came with me, so he chased him down with me. I know.
Isn't that great?
My peeps. Yeah, my peeps, right? And basically that taxi driver cut him off.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And we blocked him in.
Yeah.
And he was so drunk, guys.
Ooh,
he was so drunk.
Disappointing.
So that was a bit of a blessing, right? Because he was so drunk, he was so out of it. Mm. He was just like, oh, let's be civilized, let's be civilized. I'm like,
what?
What? We're not being civilized now.
Dude.
I'm past the civilized. This is me bringing out
This is where you want to pull someone out of the car and like smash them. Really.
But because he was so out of it, when I said to him, give me your ID, he just gave me his ID. I could have driven off with his ID and driver's license because he was just so completely out of it. And then we were very – so he gave me his ID, took pictures of it, took pictures of his disc of his car, gave me his number, gave me his street address.
Yeah, after you had to chase him for it. Oh, man.
But now that he's given me all of that stuff, right? Yeah. So I could just report him, and I've given all his details to my insurance. But the taxi driver and his friend.
Kudos to them.
Kudos to them. And then those cops were actually just patrolling past. So we flagged them down.
I see.
What I still can't believe is that you drove by.
When I drove by, you were at the booth doing something in the booth.
Yeah,
of the
I was getting a notebook.
It looked okay. I was like,
still.
Oh, but what I can't believe is that this wasn't your first thing you told us this morning. Gugu had to bring it up.
Like,
you're both so weird. Dude. What is okay? So this would be the event of my week.
Exactly.
A lot.
Any of us.
Pumi's like some kind of roadside hero. Okay, she's chasing down drunk drivers and getting taxis to cut them off, and there's like a big story.
Just another day in her life.
This is an amazing story. She's like, she's only going to bring it up if Gugu does.
I'll shelf it.
And Gugu just drives on by if he sees one of his fellow colleagues in trouble. Two of you are so weird.
And sorry to just rain on this parade, but you talk about the glow since Saturday. You know, people have just been picking at anything, though, as well.
Yes.
Around this. Similar to Boris Johnson's picture when he took a photo of himself in front of the TV screen. Yeah. Someone else who did something similar was Steve Hofmeyr.
Oh?
Now, lest we forget, Steve Hofmeyr was the one who said we should boycott DSTV.
And he's watching the rugby on DSTV.
Well, well, well. Let's just leave it at that. Might give some people a glow to hear that, but I thought,
I'm telling you, since said, you see, it's part of the afterglow. Like that guy, right? It could have been the highlight of the week, but bloody hell, you know? Bloody hell.
There was also the Xhosa.
Yeah, dude, there was the Xhosa commentary.
Which is so good.
Right?
Sure.
Why would I want to spoil any of this? I was looking for good news last night. And it's everywhere. Everybody's talking. There's so many good news stories coming out of everything.
Because people, as you say, we're basking in the afterglow. You know, have you noticed how much better people are when they've had sex or they're having a good time or they scored at the sports over the weekend or you know, they suddenly got a bonus or whatever. People are thrilled and then they're the easiest to deal with. They'll do anything for you. You say to someone who's just got good news, listen, can you help me out? Sure, no problem. Ask someone who's miserable and who's having a bad time, can you please help me with this?
Everything's a fairy tale.
Fuck off. I don't have time.
Fuck off. You are asking for a lot.
Exactly.
Just trying to make it through the day right now.
And there's a lesson here, you know. This is because this is what leadership's about, right? It's about taking the moment. And it's about hope and it's about lifting spirits. Mm. This is where these bloody guys lose it. That's where Ndlozi lost it. That's where, you know, that's where Tito lost it. That's where Matamela is losing at every count. Like, they just don't get it. They don't get that you get more out of people if you give them hope.
Hmm.
Even Bushiri knows that.
He figured that one out a long time ago.
Right.
Oh, he's mastered it.
Give people hope.
Shepherd Bashir.
Old shepherd. Yes.
All right. When we come back, we'll get to talk to Emmanuel Kastis, among other things. get into some news. Lots of good stuff. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.